We will describe the activity, liquidity, solvency, and profitability ratios here. We examined valuation ratios in another topic review concerning equity analysis. We begin with the activity ratios. A measure of accounts receivable turnover is receivables turnover, which equals annual sales divided by average receivables. It is considered desirable to have a receivables turnover figure close to the industry norm. The inverse of the receivables turnover, times 365, is the average collection period, or days of sales outstanding, which is the average number of days it takes for the company's customers to pay their bills. Days of sales outstanding equal 365 divided by receivables turnover. It is considered desirable to have a collection period and receivables turnover close to the industry norm. The firm's credit terms are another important benchmark used to interpret this ratio. A collection period that is too high might mean that customers are too slow in paying their bills, which means too much capital is tied up in assets. A collection period that is too low might indicate that the firm's credit policy is too rigorous, which might be hampering sales. A measure of a firm's efficiency with respect to its processing and inventory management is inventory turnover, which equals cost of goods sold divided by average inventory. The inverse of the inventory turnover times 365 is the average inventory processing period, or days of inventory on hand. Days of inventory on hand equals 365 divided by inventory turnover. As is the case with accounts receivable, it is considered desirable to have days of inventory on hand and inventory turnover close to the industry norm. A processing period that is too high might mean that too much capital is tied up in inventory and could mean that the inventory is obsolete. A processing period that is too low might indicate that the firm has inadequate stock on hand, which could hurt sales. A measure of the use of trade credit by the firm is the payables turnover ratio, which equals purchases divided by average trade payables. The inverse of the payables turnover ratio multiplied by 365 is the payables payment period, or number of days of payables, which is the average amount of time it takes the company to pay its bills. Number of days of payables equals 365 divided by payables turnover. The effectiveness of the firm's use of its total assets to create revenue is measured by its total asset turnover, which equals revenue divided by average total assets. Different types of industries might have considerably different turnover ratios. Manufacturing businesses that are capital-intensive might have asset turnover ratios near 1, while retail businesses might have turnover ratios near 10. As was the case with the current asset turnover ratios discussed previously, it is desirable for the total asset turnover ratio to be close to the industry norm. Low asset turnover ratios might mean that the company has too much capital tied up in its asset base. A turnover ratio that is too high might imply that the firm has too few assets for potential sales or that the asset base is outdated. The utilization of fixed assets is measured by the fixed asset turnover ratio, which equals revenue divided by average net fixed assets. As was the case with the total asset turnover ratio, it is desirable to have a fixed asset turnover ratio close to the industry norm. Low fixed asset turnover might mean that the company has too much capital tied up in its asset base or is using the assets it has inefficiently. A turnover ratio that is too high might imply that the firm has obsolete equipment, or at a minimum, that the firm will probably have to incur capital expenditures in the near future to increase capacity to support growing revenues. Since net here refers to net of accumulated depreciation, firms with more recently acquired assets will typically have lower fixed asset turnover ratios. How effectively a company is using its working capital is measured by the working capital turnover ratio, which equals revenue divided by average working capital. Working capital, sometimes called net working capital, is current assets minus current liabilities. The working capital turnover ratio gives us information about the utilization of working capital in terms of dollars of sales per dollar of working capital. Some firms may have very low working capital if outstanding payables equal or exceed inventory and receivables. In this case, the working capital turnover ratio will be very large, may vary significantly from period to period, and is less informative about changes in the firm's operating efficiency. The next class of ratios we will describe is liquidity ratios. Liquidity ratios are employed by analysts to determine a firm's ability to pay its short-term liabilities. The current ratio is the best-known measure of liquidity. The current ratio equals current assets divided by current liabilities. The higher the current ratio, the more likely it is that the company will be able to pay its short-term bills. A current ratio of less than 1 means that the company has negative working capital and is probably facing a liquidity crisis. The quick ratio is a more stringent measure of liquidity because it does not include inventories and other assets that might not be very liquid. The quick ratio equals cash plus marketable securities plus receivables divided by current liabilities. The higher the quick ratio, the more likely it is that the company will be able to pay its short-term bills. Marketable securities are short-term debt instruments, typically liquid and of good credit quality. The most conservative liquidity measure is the cash ratio, which equals cash plus marketable securities divided by current liabilities. The higher the cash ratio, the more likely it is that the company will be able to pay its short-term bills. The current, quick, and cash ratios differ only in the assumed liquidity of the current assets that the analyst projects will be used to pay off current liabilities. The defensive interval ratio is another measure of liquidity that indicates the number of days of average cash expenditures the firm could pay with its current liquid assets. The defensive interval ratio equals cash plus marketable securities plus receivables divided by average daily expenditures. Expenditures here include cash expenses for costs of goods, selling general and administrative expenses, and research and development. If those items are taken from the income statement, non-cash charges such as depreciation should be added back, just as in the preparation of a statement of cash flows by the indirect method. The cash conversion cycle is the length of time it takes to turn the firm's cash investment in inventory back into cash in the form of collections from sales of that inventory. The cash conversion cycle equals days of sales outstanding plus days of inventory on hand minus number of days of payables. High cash conversion cycles are considered undesirable. A conversion cycle that is too high implies that the company has an excessive amount of capital investment in the sales process. Next, we turn to the solvency ratios, which analysts use to measure a firm's ability to pay its long-term liabilities. A measure of the firm's use of fixed-cost financing sources is the debt-to-equity ratio, which equals total debt divided by total shareholders' equity. Total debt is calculated differently by different analysts and different providers of financial information. Here we will define it as long-term debt plus interest-bearing short-term debt. Some analysts include the present value of lease obligations or non-interest-bearing current liabilities such as trade payables. Another way of looking at the usage of debt is the debt-to-capital ratio, which equals total debt divided by capital, where capital equals all long-term debt plus preferred stock and equity. A slightly different way of analyzing debt utilization is the debt-to-assets ratio, which equals total debt divided by total assets. Increases and decreases in the debt-to-equity, debt-to-capital, and debt-to-assets ratios suggest a greater or lesser reliance on debt as a source of financing. Another measure that is used as an indicator of a company's use of debt financing is the financial leverage ratio, or simply the leverage ratio, which equals average total assets divided by average total equity. Average here means the average of the values at the beginning and at the end of the period. Greater use of debt financing increases financial leverage, and typically increases risk to equity holders and bondholders alike. The remaining risk ratios help determine the firm's ability to repay its debt obligations. The first of these is the interest coverage ratio, which equals earnings before interest and taxes divided by interest payments. The lower this ratio, the more likely it is that the firm will have difficulty meeting its debt payments. A second ratio that is an indicator of a company's ability to meet its obligations is the fixed charge coverage ratio, which equals earnings before interest and taxes plus lease payments divided by interest payments plus lease payments. Here, lease payments are added back to operating earnings in the numerator and also added to interest payments in the denominator. Significant lease obligations will reduce this ratio significantly compared to the interest coverage ratio. Fixed charge coverage is the more meaningful measure for companies that lease a large portion of their assets, such as some airlines.